Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the
Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I am Pastor Steve, and this show is for Tuesday, November the 8th, Election Day, 2016. We are going to begin the Book of Judges, that is Shofatim, in the Hebrew. There's a lot of different things in this book, and I'll just read the intro out of my copy of the scriptures. Judges here does not mean a judge is in a courtroom today. In the Hebrew, it carries more of a meaning of a leader than anything else. This could be a civil leader or a religious leader or a prophet that had a lot of influence in the nation. One man as a judge did not rule over all of Israel. Indeed, there were sometimes several at work at one time during the period. And this period lasted about 350 years plus or minus. Shemuel, in other words, Samuel, AD 50, was the probable author of this book, and most likely while he was living. Now, there are 15 judges, and only 13 of the 15 judges are in this book. Eli, 5:9-4:1, and Shemuel are in 1 Samuel, okay? And here, chapters 1 and 2 are an introduction. And 3 through 16 recount the stories of the judges who led or rescued the people. Chapters 17 through 21 describe the conditions of the times. And neither the introduction nor the conclusion follow the timeline of the story order of the judges. In other words, it jumps back and forth. And the order of the judges are Othniel, 6274, Ehud, 261, Shamgar, 8044, Deborah, 1683, Gideon, 1439, Abimelech, 40, Tola, 8439, Yair, 2971, Tiftok, 3316, Ibzan, that's 78, Elon, 356, Abdon, 5658, and Shimshon, that's Samson. Now you got Mikayehu, 4321, Micah, and he was not a judge, and he had a false priest, and he worshiped idols, and is in chapter 17 following the story of Shimshon, Samson. Please remember, some of the judges were not all good and made some personal mistakes, but they served the purpose that they were called for by Yahweh. And Samson, was a good example of this at his end. He served Yahweh at the end. He was not necessarily a good guy. So he liked his women, and didn't always make good decisions at all. Let me get a hit of water here, clear my throat, and we'll get right into this chapter 1 of the book of Judges. Ah, yes, that's refreshing. I need to do this early in the mornings, in the wee hours when things calm down around here. There's a fire station a block from my house, and all day long, in and out, in and out, in and out, sirens blowing, and I just can't record during the day. I just can't do it. So I wait till the wee hours of the morning. Well, let's get into chapter 1 of the book of Judges. And verses 1 and 2, you can reference the book of Yashar, that's Jasher in English. Chapter 91, verse 2. Now, after the death of Yeshua, which we covered yesterday, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked 7592 Yahweh, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanite first, 8462, to fight against them?" Okay, they wanted to know. They were going to go and obey and take the land. And Yahweh said, "Yehuda shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into their hand." Okay. And Yehuda said to Shimeon, that's the tribe of Yehuda, saying to the tribe of Shimeon, 8095, their kinsmen, okay, this is one type, the tribal leaders talking to a set of other tribal leaders. "Come up with us into my lot," 1486, "their portion of the land, that we may fight against the Canaanite. I likewise will go with you into your lot." So Shimeon went with them. They were right there together when the land was apportioned. And verse 4, "And Yehuda went up, and Yahweh gave the Canaanite and the Perizzi," those are the Perizzites, "into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek," 966, 10,000 men. This is a big battle. This was not fooling around. I told you that these were brutal times. And verse 5, "And they found Adoni Bezek," 137, "in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanite and the Perizzi." Well, 137, Adoni Bezek is a title, and it means Lord of Bezek. Verse 6, "But Adoni Bezek fled, and they pursued after him, and seized him," 270, "and cut off," 7112, "his thumbs," 931, "of his hands," 3027, "and his great toes," 7272, and that literally means feet. Verse 7, "And Adoni Bezek said, 70 kings. That's literally, that's 70 kings. A score is 20. So that's 60 plus 10. 70 kings, having their thumbs of their hands and their great toes cut off, gathered 3950 under 8478 my table, as I have done, so Elohim has repaid 7999 me, has repaid me. And under the table they met, they gathered up the fallen scraps of food to eat. He subjugated these 70 kings. Well, they did the same thing to him. Okay, what goes around comes around. That's what that's all about. Now, the children of Yehuda had fought against Yerushalayim, that's Jerusalem, and had captured it, 3920. Because the Jebusites, the Yebusi, were there, and smitten it with the edge of the sword, and set the city on fire. The original name of Jerusalem was Yebus, because the Yebusi, a group of the Canaanites, lived there. Verse 9. Now, they had to rebuild Jerusalem later. And afterward, the children of Yehuda went down to fight against the Canaanite that dwelled in the mountain and in the Negeb, 5045, that's the southern desert territory, and in the lowland, 8219. Verse 10, and you can reference verse 10 in Numbers chapter 13, verse 22, and the book of Joshua, chapter 15, verse 14. And Yehuda went against the Canaanite that dwelled in Hebron, 2275. The name of Hebron before was Kiriath Arba, 7153. That's the city of Arba. And they slew Sheshai, 8144. Achiman, 289, and Talmai, 8526. Those were three giants that lived in Hebron. Okay? And that's the place that Sarah died. And you can reference that in Genesis 23, verse 2. Those are three sons of Anak, the Anakim. Verse 11. And from there they went against the inhabitants of Debir, 1688. And the name of Debir before was Kiriath Sefer, 7158, the city of the book, or city of scribes, some call it that. And Caleb said, he that smites Kiriath Sefer and captures it, to him I will give my daughter Achsa to wife. And verses 12 and 13 here, you can reference Joshua chapter 15, verses 16 and 17. We covered that back in Joshua. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, 7073, Caleb's younger brother, captured it, and he gave him Achsa, his daughter, to wife. And verse 14, you can reference the book of Joshua, chapter 15, verse 18. And it came to pass, when she came to him, she incited him to ask from her father a field. And she descended from upon her ass, and Caleb said to her, What do you want? We covered that in the book of Joshua. Verse 15. And she said to him, give me a present. Okay, she wanted something. And it turned out that the land that he had given her was very dry land down in the southern desert region. Give me a present, because you have given me land of the Negev. That's the southern desert. And give me also Gulath Mayim. That's plural. 1543. Gulath. And Gulath Mayim means basins of water. Those were wells in the Negev. And Caleb gave her the upper and lower Gulath Mayim. He gave her the upper and lower wells, two different locations. All right. Now, I need to explain something here for verse 16. And the children of the Cani, 7014, Moshe's father-in-law, went up from the city of Palms with the children of Yehuda into the wilderness of Yehuda, which lies in the Negev of Arad. And they went and dwelled among the people. Well, the Cani here, number 7014, are Kenites. And they were an offshoot of the Midianites. Now, you remember Moshe's father was a priest of the Midianites before they went bad. His father-in-law, pardon me, not father. Jethro, remember? Jethro? He was a person of high importance with them. And that was before they started doing the Baal worship and all that stuff years ago. And Israel had to whip up on the Midianites because they were seducing the men and getting them to worship idols. They had gone bad. Well, they were Adamic people, but they were doing wrong, you know. And Yahweh is not going to tolerate that. So they had to smite him very bad. He killed almost all of them. Verse 17. And Yehuda went with Shimeon, his brother, in other words, his kinsman. The tribe of Yehuda went with the tribe of Shimeon. And they smote the Canaanite that inhabited Sephath. That's T-S-E-P-H-A-T-H, number 6857. And devoted it to destruction. That's 2763. And the name of the city was called Kormah, 2767. And 2767 is an offshoot, it's from 2763, devoted to destruction, and that's what Kormah means, a city devoted to destruction. They changed the name from Sephath to Kormah. And Yehuda captured 3920 Azah, 5804, with, that's Gaza today, over in the Middle East, that's the strip, Gaza Strip, with the territory of it, and Ashkelon, 831, with the territory of it, and Ekron, 6138, with the territory of it. Okay? And Yahweh was with Yehuda, that's the tribe. Okay? And he drove out, 3423, now, it's drove out or dispossessed the inhabitants of the mountain, but he could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley plain, 6010, because they had chariots, 7393, of iron, 1270. I told you about the brutal warfare and these chariots that were really deadly in battle. Well, they couldn't drive them out. Verse 20, and you can reference verse 20 in Joshua chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. And they gave Hebron to Caleb, as Moshe said, and he drove out from there the three sons of Anak, 606:1. That's those three I read you the names a couple of minutes ago. Verse 21, and the children of Binyamin, that's Benjamin, did not drive out the Yebusite, 2983, that inhabited Yerushalayim, but the Yebusite dwell with the children of Binyamin unto this day. And verse 21, you can reference the book of Joshua 15, verse 63, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6, and 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 4. See, they didn't drive them out. There were still Canaanites living there. Bad news. You know, this is all historical. And this is what happened. They didn't complete their commission. Verse 22. And the house of Yosef, that's Joseph, they also went up against Bethel, that means the house of God, 1008. And Yahweh was with them. Verse 23. And the house of Yosef sent to spy out Bethel, whose name before was Luz, L-U-Z, 3870. And verse 23, you can reference the book of Yasher, chapter 91, verse 9. And the observers, 8104, saw a man come forth from the city, and they said to him, please show us the entrance, 3996, into the city, and we will deal kindly with you. In other words, we won't slay you. And when he showed them the entrance to the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. Verse 26. And the man went into the land of the Hittite, 2850, those are the Hittites, and built a city, and called the name of it Luz, which is the name of it unto this day. Build a new city of Luz, okay? Verse 27, Manasseh did not drive out those in Beth Shean, 105:2, and her towns, nor Taanach, 85:90, and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor, 1756, and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Yibleam, 2991, and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo, 4023, and her towns, but the Kanani persisted, 2974, in dwelling in that land. More problems. And verses 27 and 28, you can reference the book of Joshua, chapter 17, verses 11 through 13. Now, Beth Shean means the house of ease, like an easy chair, ease. And Taanach is 4.5 miles from Megiddo. And 1756 is from the root of 1755, and that's Dor, and it means dwelling. and that is 9 Roman miles north of Caesarea. And Iblium, 2991, that's 13 miles plus or minus northeast of Samaria. And Megiddo, the modern name of Megiddo, 4023, is Lejeune. That's what they call it today. Little geography and history lesson there. The more you know, the more you know. Verse 28, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanite to forced labor, 4522, and did not utterly drive them out. That's 3423 doubled as an emphatic. So they didn't complete their commission. They were warned. Let me clear my lungs here and get a little drink of water. Okay. Verse 29. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanite that dwelled in Gezer, but the Canaanite dwelled in Gezer among them. Seeds of destruction. Verse 29, you can reference the book of Joshua, chapter 16, verse 10. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, and that's 7,003, and that's the same as Kata, 7,005. Nor the inhabitants of Nahalol, 5096, but the Canaanite dwelled among them and became forced laborers. We're going tribe by tribe. They're not doing what Yahweh commanded. Verse 31. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. 5910. Nor the inhabitants of Sidon. 6721. Nor of Achlab. 303. Nor of Achzibah. 392. Nor of Kelba, 2462, nor of Afag, 663, nor of Rechab, 7340. Now, 5910 Akko, its modern name is Akka, and it is a seaport north of Carmel. Still exists. Verse 32. But the Asheri, 843, those are the Asherites of the tribe of Asher, dwelled among the Canaanite, the inhabitants of the land, because they did not drive them out. Tribe by tribe. I mean, you know, hey, we didn't do what we were commanded to do. Okay, verse 33. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh. That's the house of the sun. It was a sun temple. Nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath. 1043, that means house of replies. But they dwelled among the Canaanite, the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemeth and of Beth Anath became forced laborers for them. Well, Israel was forced labor in Egypt. You know, that was common practice. They made them slaves, but they didn't get rid of them. They were told to kill them all. And what happened? Verse 34. And the Emori, 5, 6, 7, those are the Amorites, forced the children of Dan into the mountain because they would not permit them to come down into the valley. Verse 35. But the Emori persisted in dwelling in Har Keres. That means Mount Keres, in Ayalon, 357, and in Shaalabim, 8169. Yet the hand of the house of Joseph was heavy, 3513, so that they became forced laborers. They may have lived there, but they were miserable. Verse 36. And you can reference verse 36 in Joshua chapter 15, verse 3. And the territory of the Emori was from the ascent of Akrabim, 6137, and that literally means Scorpion Pass, from Selah, 5553, onward. And that literally means cliff. And the commands given in Deuteronomy 7:2 are completely disobeyed wherever Israel did not completely drive out all the Canaanite. Verses 21, 27, and 36 are examples of this. And if you do not drive them out, they will be thorns in your side and pricks in your eyes. And they didn't drive them out. What can I say? You know, we were told to do something and we didn't do it. We're told to do certain things today and we're not doing them. Pardon me a second. Yeah, I get a little dry, and the voice gets a little rough. Well, let's get into chapter 2 here. Verse 1, and a messenger, 4397, of Yahweh, all right, this is a divine messenger. Christianity calls them angels, but it's messenger in the Hebrew. They made something up and,
oh, it's an angel.
No, it's a messenger of Yahweh. Came up from Gilgal to Bochim 1066 and said, now he's speaking for Yahweh, I made you to go up from Mitzrayim and have brought you to the land which I swore to your ancestors. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not heard my voice. For what reason have you done this? All right, verse 2, you can reference Exodus 34, verses 12 and 13, and Deuteronomy 7, verses 2 through 5. And have not heard my voice. That's as paid attention to or obeyed. Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall become as thorns in your sides, and their Elohim shall be a snare to you. What have I been saying? They're little false gods. They're going to start messing with other gods. If you don't drive them out, that's what's going to happen. He warned them. Verse 4, and it came to pass when the messenger of Yahweh spoke these words to all the children of Israel that the people lifted up their voice and wept. 105:8. And that is Baka 105:8. Verse 5. And they called the name of that place Bochim, 1066. And they sacrificed there to Yahweh. And Bochim means the weepers, because they wept there. Verse 6. When Yahshua let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his inheritance to possess the land. Verse 7. And the people served Yahweh all the days of Yahshua and all the days of the elders that lived long after Yahshua, who had seen all the great works of Yahweh which he did for Israel. Now, we went over this in the book of Joshua. This is a repeat of that. They do that in Hebrew. They repeat often. Verse 8, and Yahshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died 110 years of age. Verse 9, and you can reference verse 9 in the book of Joshua, chapter 19. Verses 49 and 50. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Keres, in the mountain of Ephraim, on the north side of the hill Gaash. Verse 10. And also all that generation were gathered unto their ancestors, and there arose another generation after them which did not know Yahweh, nor even the works which he did for Israel. And the Canaanites were living among them, remember? Okay. Now we start where Israel starts to sin. Irregardless of the warnings they were given. Verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yahweh and served 5647 Baalim 1168. And they forsook Yahweh Elohim of their ancestors who brought them forth from the land of Mitzrayim, and one after other Elohim from the Elohim of the people all around them, and bowed down, 7812, to them, and provoked to anger, 3707, Yahweh. Verse 13, and they forsook Yahweh and served Baal, 1168, and Ashtaroth, 6252. In verse 13, you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 18, verses 20 through 40, Hosea, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, and Amos, chapter 4, verses 4 through 11. Now, Ashtaroth, 6252, has another name. It's Ishtar and Asherah, same goddess. And Ishtar is where we get Ishtar Sunday, Easter Sunday, pagan day, not Christian. verse 14. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel, and he gave them into the hands of plunderers, 8154, that plundered, 8155, them. And he sold, 4376, he sold them, in other words, he delivered them over into the hands of their hated enemies on every side, so that they could no longer stand before their hated enemies. He just let the Canaanites just whip up on them. They didn't drive them out. They didn't kill them. He took their strength away from them. Now the Canaanites are just making them miserable. He warned them so that they could no longer stand before their hated enemies. Anyway, they went forth. The hand of Yahweh had become against them for harm, 7451. As Yahweh had declared, and as Yahweh had sworn to them, and they were greatly restricted. 6887. Verse 16, this explains what this book is all about. Nevertheless, Yahweh raised up leaders, 8199, those are Shofetim, as decision makers and rulers. And the best translation here of that in context is leaders, who delivered them from the hands of the plunderers. Verse 17, and still they would not listen to their leaders, but committed fornication, 2181, literally, after other Elohim. They were whoring with other Elohim, but they also, in their worship ceremonies for these pagan gods, there were sex things going on. They committed fornication after other Elohim and bowed down to them, and they turned aside, 5493, that's Sur, as apostatized, quickly, 4118, from the way which their ancestors walked in, obeying the commandments of Yahweh, literally hearing, they did not so. Verse 18, and when Yahweh raised up a leader, then Yahweh was with that leader and delivered them from the hand of their hated enemies all the days of the leader. Because Yahweh was moved to pity, 5162, because of their groanings, 5009, from the presence of those that crushed and oppressed them. Crushed is 3905, and oppressed is 1766. Oh, they're treating us so bad. Wah, wah, wah. Okay, well, verse 19. And it came to pass when the leader died, they turned back again and acted corruptly, 7843, more than their ancestors, in going after other Elohim to serve them and bow down to them. They did not fail, 5307, that's fall, literally, from their practices, 4611, or their stubborn, 7186, ways. And he warned him and warned him and warned him and warned him, and he just, okay. How many of our people today, when they hear the truth, turn their back on it because they want to stay in their little King James cult, and they want to do what they want to do, and football and basketball and beer are more important than Yahweh? They still got football on TV and basketball, and they got beer in the fridge and batteries for their remote, and they'll sit there in front of the Talmud Vision and be entertained and go down the spiritual path to hell. Oh, well, yeah, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. I just do what I do and pray for the best. Verse 20, and the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Israel, and he said, because that this people has transgressed, 5, 6, 7, 4, that's to pass over my covenant, which I commanded their ancestors, and have not listened to my voice, I will also not drive out any more from before them the nations which Yahshua left when he died. Verse 22, now listen to this carefully. That through them I may test, 5254, Israel. Whether they will keep, 8104, to observe or guard or keep, whether they will keep the way of Yahweh to walk in it, as their ancestors kept it, or not. Testing ground. I keep telling you, this life that we live right now in modern days is such a test. Verse 23, therefore Yahweh left those nations without driving them out quickly, 4118, nor gave them into the hand of Yahshua. Now, here's some notes. 8199 Shofatim, which is the plural of Shafat, can mean judges, as in court, or decision makers, or even Yahweh himself as a supreme judge. Yahweh Shofet Israel, Yahweh the judge of Israel. But in this book, as an adjective describing men and women, it means leaders. These leaders led Israel into battle, devised ways to deliver Israel from oppression, and in general were those highly respected individuals whose advice and counsel Israel followed. This will become clear as you hear about them here, so don't get the English word judge stuck in your mind. Shofatim is a Hebrew word with Hebrew meanings, which is often a totally different concept from our modern-day language descriptions. We as a people are westernized now, and the old terms are from our past, from when we were a people of a completely different lifestyle and mindset. We're no longer teaching our children the Hebrew mindset because we had lost our identity for quite some time and living in all, we're in dispersion, we're living all over. And we have all these modern things now. And we're kicked out of the promised land. And we got so bad when we were living over there, even though we were in dispersion, there were still a few of us living over there, that Yahweh came down in the form of a man. He manifested himself in the flesh of a man. Now this man was holy man completely. He could bleed, could be bruised, could be injured, could suffer pain, but yet he was completely divine at the same time. That was Yahshua, not Joshua the judge from the last book, but the Messiah, the kinsman redeemer of Israel, our Lord Yahshua. You're going to see all through this book of Judges, and then we get into Kings. Oh, it's a wild ride, and it's a sad one at the same time, but it holds true today. All this stuff has meaning today. It's an example of what we did then, and we're doing it again now. We can't fix the past, what we did then, how we fouled up, but we can fix what we do now. We can change now. We can go back to Yahweh in repentance now. Yeshua opened the door for that. We've got a second shot because we keep getting children, and they're new Israelites. I'm not an Israelite of those times, yet I am an Israelite. I'm an Israelite of these times. And I have been awakened, praise Yahweh, and I see the light of His truth, and I have changed my lifestyle completely. And if an old reprobate like me can do it, you sure can. I mean, I'm no prize, folks. No prize. But there's redemption for me. There's forgiveness for me. Paul, the Apostle Paul, killed the Christians. He was terrible. He was the worst of the worst. And he's going along the road to Damascus, and a blinding light struck him, and Yeshua spoke to him directly. And Paul, the murderer of the Christian Israelites, was converted to Christianity right there. I see by the evil in the world today. It is an example of the prophecy in the Bible. All these things are coming true. They are blatantly obvious. And we got this election. Whatever the results are going to be today, this show will broadcast in the morning. Read the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. I keep quoting this book. When Yeshua Messiah comes back, every government, not just the government of the United States where I live, worldwide, every man-made government will fall at that point in time. There will be no resisting then. The grace period will be over. And at that point, all these enemies of Israel, the ones that are persecuting us and killing us, oppressing us, bleeding us dry with usury, all the minions and the physical seed line of the Nakash will be destroyed in flaming fire. All these liars that have been preaching from these pulpits for years, knowing the truth. Now, the ones that don't know the truth in ignorance, they may get a little slack because they're just parroting what they were told in seminary school. And they really just don't know. There's going to be a worldwide destruction of the enemies. And we're going to have a righteous rule for 1,000 years with Yeshua as our king. It will be a monarchy. He is not elected. You can't vote him out of office. You can't fire him. You can't kill him. He's not coming back as a flesh man. He's coming back as a divine being to rule. And he will break the nations with a rod of iron. And I'm very sorry for the naysayers and the people that don't believe in him. Your time is up at that point. There's no grace period after that. Grace ends. Forgiveness ends. The day of Yahweh and his wrath will be here, and it will be a day of vengeance. And if you're not one of his, I'm sorry. You're in real trouble. You know, and I don't say this because I hate you. I say this because I'm afraid for you. I care about you. If you're an Israelite, if you're non-Israelite, go on down the road. Got nothing for you. I'm talking about the white people, the Caucasians. I'm not speaking to the Mexicans or the Chinese or the Cachahundas or the Maba Jabas or the Muslims or the mixed breed mongrel, whatever. Oh, you're a racist. You bet. I am a racist. The Bible is a racist book. It is about the seed line of the race of Adam, and specifically a subsection of that race called Israel, and no one else. No matter what they tell you in your Judeo-Christian church, Christ said, I come not but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And they keep ignoring that and saying it's a lie. You see which side they're on. When they call the anointed of Yahweh a liar in such a manner, you see who they serve. When they try to change his words, you see who they serve. Come out from them, my people, and be ye separate. Get out from Babylon, which is a system, not a physical place. Oh, and I'm just watching and watching and watching all this horror get ready to take place. I am greatly concerned that there will be even more violence following this election, whichever way it goes. Somebody's going to be upset enough to the control has slipped from our people. I'm talking about national people, all the secular, from all our creatures here, mostly the beasts of the field. The beasts of the field are out of control. And they are going to be extremely violent. It's going to be bad. So, gird your loins and prepare for bad times. Hey, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't hurt a thing. You've been ready. Well, we're getting almost out of time here toward the end of the hour. And I will say Shalom Aleichem, as peace be with you. And may Yahweh bless and keep you, and I will be back tomorrow with the book of Judges, chapters 3 and 4. See you later.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus